Sounds like things are going well. What's on your mind today?
Oh, I have some bad news.
What?
That Christian Science organization or client who I brought in Greystone, I received an email from them yesterday that they're moving to TIA Crest. They're very happy with the decade of service that we've provided and the returns. It's exceptional, they said. But at this point in time, they felt that the best decision for them was to move to TIA Craft. We felt that at those last few calls that we had, there was some animosity towards the current administrators who have since retired from the board. Our thinking is that, you know, and Rick and our other partner and multiple people have said that they feel that they wanted to just kind of break free from giving them any kind of connection or control to these accounts. But it still hurts.
Yeah. How big is that?
Big. Total of 10 million, revenue of 70,000 combined, both accounts,
Yeah.
both clients. Yep.
Well, that's so you just have to go and replace it.
Pardon?
You just have to go out and replace it, right?
Oh, yes.
Well, and we were going to lose some of that revenue regardless, because we were going to split it with Greystone, which we weren't doing beforehand. So we were already going to get a cut there. But as Roxana mentioned, there was the lady who is the administrator of the actual facility was actually our contact for, you know, running the investments and all that. And I think that with these new board members that came in, they wanted to get rid of some of her, you know, kind of handicap her, get rid of some of her power and put her back into just administrating the facilities, right? Not have control over
the money.
The investments that the money. So I felt that kind of from the beginning and I just didn't say anything. I wanted to see how it played out, but you know, I told Roxana that they were just going through the motions, doing their due diligence, but always with the intention of leaving.
I've never heard of anybody ever going to TIA Cref.
That's what Joyce is a Barron's 100, top 100 advisor in within the foundations
Greystone.
And Greystone.
Yeah.
And her statement was after we had the last call, it went very well. I mean, the returns of the portfolio have been exceptional considering they've sat on like cash and she said, I mean, her statement was, I think we have a big shot. You know, it's a regional bank or TIA Craft. You know, there's no competition there. So clearly it was either to kind of set their dominance there and remove Beverly or to, because they had a contact at TIA Craft.
But TIA Craft is terrible.
Terrible, terrible, terrible. And I will tell you that Beverly and Larry, which are the administrators for the church and for the Daystar, when she left me a voicemail, I was on with a client, she was practically in tears. I mean, they did not
furious.
Want them to pull the accounts to us. Yeah, they were furious. They were really vouching for us, you know, having us provide returns, explain how we've done, you know, the monthly calls, just everything. They were furious and upset and disappointed. So I don't know if there's even more of a battle or something happening there in the background, you know, that we don't know about. Yeah, but it's a big one for us, but you know, as history shows, when one door closes, you know, something else will come along and that's it.
Yeah, you can't, once you get an RFP, your probabilities of keeping it, I bet, are 20%. They've already made up their mind they want to move it, and they're going to justify moving it with whoever they bring in to hire. So, I mean, I would say that is, I'd say 80% chance of losing it. if you've got control and they bring in an RFP, means we're giving you the courtesy of including you, but you're fired.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And so the work has to be done, you know, all the way prior to the RFP. So who did you do your 1242 with
We had, whenever they had, with COVID, we had a few Zooms with the board. You know, it was not monthly. The board did not, you know, bring us in monthly, but we did have meetings with the board. And then our monthly meetings with me were with Beverly and Larry. And then they spoke to Gladys probably a few times a week, on all of the administrative functions. But the thing is that the board changed. They had a new board, a lot of new with COVID and everything that's gone on. They had a lot of new board members come in. It was a big shift in the board.
All right. So let me just give you a little bit of, being on boards. I'm on the board of the school on the island. And it is about 10, it's about 11 million now. And I'm the head of the finance committee, right? Northern Trust is the manager. Now, when I was on the board of Marquette Manor, that was bigger. That was like 30 million. And I was sort of second in command on the finance committee. The guy that ran Marquette was a great guy. Okay. So the people that were managing it, I'm not sure who they talked to. Okay. But here's the key. Whoever becomes the head of the finance committee.
Okay.
Is going to be the person that makes the decision on where the money goes.
Okay.
It isn't a committee decision.
Yeah.
Okay. They were not as sophisticated when it comes to the board. They didn't really have a finance committee or a finance person.
What?
But it is good.
Previously.
They had to.
Yeah.
You're required to.
They did not.
So I think that's some of the issues that the new board members that came in had. Right, was that their previous board wasn't as sophisticated as they were, and that's why I think they also wanted to sever ties and, you know, start over type thing.
Okay, so just let me give you if you were going to do 1242, your natural inclination would be to do 1242 with the administrator, right?
Correct.
That's not with the decision. Board. You need the head of the finance committee of the board, and they're gonna want quarterly meetings,
right?
Okay.
And we used to do that. We used to do the quarterly meetings for them until COVID, right? Until COVID, and we used to go to their board.
You do Zoom meetings then.
We did have Zoom, probably more semi-annual.
I meant in-person meetings. We used to do in-person.
Right. But now frankly, I don't think you ever need another in-person meeting. You could do Zoom meetings all the time.
Yes.
Yeah.
Anyway, the point is that you do your quarterly meetings with the board and you talk to the head of the finance committee monthly. So why? Because you want to smell the board. Okay.
Got it.
You didn't have the smell of the board. You knew something was wrong, but you weren't in control and you didn't have a dialogue going on. Okay. So the game is I want to be as good of friends as I can be with the guy that's the head of the finance committee. Cause he's the person that's going to put his buddy in their job.
Yes.
Okay. So when they change boards, and usually they don't change boards. They usually, somebody like me then would move up to the head of the finance committee. And if you could talk, like Northern Trust was there, right? And the guy that he's really made good friends with me. Okay. He doesn't call me enough. He doesn't call 1242, but he listens. And when I suggest something, he does it. Okay. So we're very active as a board. We tell him what to do. Okay. That's all I'm telling you is, look, you guys, you don't play in these waters all the time. These are the waters that you need to understand. The shark is the head of the fishing community. Okay. He's the one that'll eat you and you won't, and he will make the decision where it's going. And everybody will listen to him or they wouldn't make him head of the finance committee.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sometimes it's the president of the board, but sometimes not. I was president of the board, but I wasn't head of the finance committee. So I couldn't really change the board because the guy that asked me to be on the board was the head of the finance committee.
you couldn't nudge him out.
I couldn't do that. You had to wait till he died. He did die, unfortunately. You understand it's 100% politics.
Yeah.
Okay. So when you're dealing with boards, you just have to know it's 100% politics. Okay.
Right.
So anyway.
Okay.
I could tell when you were telling me this story that it wasn't, it didn't smell right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, when we discussed it at our last call.
Yeah. Yeah. It just.
Yeah.
Didn't pass the smell test of being a fair fight.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you didn't lose it. He took it. Or she took
it. Right. Well, I don't feel, you know, like I told Nicholas, you know, and I'm very upfront and I say, you know, we dropped the ball on this one. Or, I mean, I don't feel I did. Maybe I could have had a better grasp of the board, but as far as service and returns and, I mean, being on top of things from that aspect, I don't feel I did anything absolutely wrong.
Yeah, you just, when the board changed, you needed to take immediate action.
Yes.
Next time you'll do that. Next time you'll go sometimes they don't want to meet with you though. They'll just refuse.
Right.
They've already got their mind made up.
Right.
Yep.
But if you can, most people are fair people. They will give you a chance to have dinner or meet, have lunch and meet. Because you got to win them over because they're the ones making the decision. And
yep.
It's like I said, it's not a fair fight. They're just going to be jerks.
Yeah, we had that incident happen to us one time with a 401k.
It's exactly the same thing. 401k yeah. business and the foundation business are the same business. So you need to talk to the head, the guy that's actually making the decision. If we change managers, who would make the decision? Well, the committee would. Well, that's not true.
Yeah.
It's the head guy. He's
got. Was that Ricky Pockle Group?
No, that was different. Brascom, remember when
Sherelle
came in and she didn't even want to meet us?
We had a great working relationship and she came in exactly. An HR manager came in and just didn't even talk to us. She didn't give us the time of day. I mean, yeah. She was set
on bringing in her purse. She had other people talk to us and she acted like she was an assistant. And the reality was that she was making the decision.
And she brought in her purse.
And she already had made the decision.
Right.
Well,
I remember.
Yeah. So one of the things you want to try and do is you want to integrate. If you want to be in that business, now you may not. I always tell people, if you don't have 10 401ks, you're not in the business.
Not anymore.
Yeah. Don't get it.
Not anymore. That was when we used to. We hand it all to the Boca Group, to Greystone, and we get a split and they manage it. We don't do that business anymore.
Yeah, it's just pretty intense, you know, and and it takes a lot of personnel, a lot of time. You need to virtually hire another person just to manage the 401k business.
Exactly. No, we bring them in. They do a spectacular job. I have to say that's all they do. And, you know, we share it 50-50 and clients happy. We're happy and we don't move away from what what our specialty is.
Okay, so
they also they're more well versed in the laws that are changing and all that, and it's, you know, it's something that they're on top of and we're not.
Yeah, I always tell people that if you it's like mortgages. You know, mortgages are easier, but if you do 10 10 mortgages a year, you're in the business. If you don't, then it's just a mess.
Yeah.
So, 401ks are definitely, you're in the business or not. Okay. So what progress have you made in terms of, practice management and, you know, some of the ideas that we had?
Rick, I'll turn that over to you.
As far as, the getting referrals from our clients.
Yeah, that was one of the initiatives. Yeah.
Yeah. We're still working on that because we were, you know, kind of shocked with the information. Go ahead, Roxanne.
No, I was going to say our daughter had COVID. And she went to a school trip. They tested everyone vaccinated and unvaccinated, and they really took great protocols. And one parent sent their child knowing that the sibling was home with COVID, and sent the child anyways. So clearly this person was ultimately positive. She, in a lot of kids at the school caught it. Yeah, she had COVID. We had already been around her. We decided not to quarantine or do anything. So our doctor prescribed, you know, a medication, and thank God, no, all she had was stuffy nose and she slept. She slept and slept and slept. And we, same thing with us. We were still functional. We still had client meetings. We all still, so we're okay. And then the last month, I think we had that RSV thing that was going around. So we've been like, you know, we get back up and we, you know, are back up. But the last 2 weeks since our last call, that's what happened. Still had our client calls. We didn't cancel one client call. Thank God. And everybody's well now. Everybody's well.
Good, good. How's the merger going?
With Tony?
Yeah.
He got extended a few months.
They extended his merger until November now. His, departure until November. I mean, really, he handed most of those clients to Adam Carlin, which is like the biggest producer in the office, to Hannah Nine, to some other FAs. The book that we have split with him is the book that we handle 90% of it, 95% of it. And we've already had two or three calls with that other 5-10%. And that is actually going very well. I mean, it's just transitioned very smoothly. Clients, you know, are just as a matter of fact, we've just picked up, and they're happy because they weren't getting those phone calls before. So that's worked out well. And he's until, I think, November now.
So who else is retiring that you can merge with?
I don't know anyone else. I don't know anyone else that is retiring on our end. We had one gentleman retire and he handed it all to his daughter. And then everyone else is somewhere around our age range.
Okay. That's a pretty good way to grow.
Yeah.
You know what? We should keep our eyes and ears open to see if anyone, David Tillman, is the other one, Rick?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if and when he would.
You also got to see what type of business they do as well. There's some people that would retire that don't fit our business model because they're transactional. That's pretty much what happened with this gentleman that's retiring. He was strictly like buy and sell bonds and buy and sell stock. And so
the clients are trained to look at commission and pay minimal.
Yeah.
But you can fix that.
Yeah. So that's what we're transitioning. That's what we're transitioning now for the clients.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's an easy, relatively easy way to grow.
Yeah.
If you can find those people, and you guys have got you're very good at the, at doing the business, right? You're good at doing the business. You're good at 1242. You're good at your portfolio management. You're good at financial planning. You're good at the business. I would say where you clearly both have a challenge is growing.
Yeah.
You don't have a plan. And if you want me to be honest.
Yes.
There's not much I can do for you in the growth side if you guys don't take some action. It's like I can't comment on a case that you're working on if you don't have a case you're working on.
Exactly.
All right. So, I mean, one of the things that I would suggest you do is you got to figure it out. Okay. You got to figure out whether or not it's like Marcia, getting a person to clean the house. And she says, well, I can do it. I said, yeah, but then you have to do it. And then you don't have time to do something else. So I said, get somebody to clean the house. And when you feel like cleaning, you clean. You clean extra. Okay. So the question is, maybe you guys need to have somebody do what you're doing now so that you can have time to do the things you need to do. Okay. Or you need to merge with somebody that is a growth engine and needs you to manage the business. Because I don't like the way you're going.
Yeah.
You bet the whole year merging. And once that merger's over, there's no growth.
Right.
So what are you going to do?
Right.
So,
yeah, in 5 years, if you're not growing in this business, you're pretty much dwindling away. In 5-10 years, we'll be out the door.
This is the greatest bull market we've ever seen. It covers a lot of mistakes. So, we're not in a 5-year bear market, which would be hard, okay, which will come. So the question is, if you're not growing anything more than you're growing by mergers and the market appreciation, then when the bear market comes and you're shrinking your assets, your revenues are declining, and you're not growing, then you're really not growing. And you're losing business. You lose like 10 to 15% of your business. Maybe you don't today, but we used to say you lose about 10% of your business every year. So you need to grow by more than 10% just to stay even.
Right.
Okay. So you lose a $10 million client and $70,000.
That's significant. Yeah.
We don't have a pipeline.
No.
Okay. I would declare that an emergency. Okay.
Yeah.
But next month, my worry is that we're going to have the same conversation.
Yeah.
So, like I said, you got two choices. One is you get somebody to do your job so you can go out and grow, because clearly this is a time problem. I mean, every time we talk, what did you do? Well, we had this and this and this, right? It's always... Right. It's always something.
Yeah.
And family comes first. So it's always going to be family. So the question is, okay, that's fine. Now you're not going to do it then, and Rick's not going to do it. Then you got to merge with somebody that's doing it, but needs a team to support them and manage the clients.
Right.
Or you are freed up to grow and you have the discipline to spend your time growing. But growth always is sacrificed.
Yeah.
Your client calls, you never sacrifice. Growth, you always sacrifice.
Yeah.
So what's it going to be?
Yeah. No, wait, Rick, and I need to sit down and have a serious conversation.
This has been, a couple of years of this?
Yep. Yeah, that's not even a few months.
It was the house move. It was, it was always something. And then they're real. So it's always got to be something.
Yeah, but everybody always has something. We're not immune to something. Everybody has something.
Right.
And just like we can continue our client appointments, we don't cancel. We keep that commitment. We can easily keep the other one.
And if you were the manager of your office and had this issue, you'd get fired.
Right.
Okay. Because I either grew as a manager or they found somebody else. So, right. So there wasn't like I could say, oh, I'm sorry, I had this, right?
Right.
There was never an excuse, And I sacrificed things, And I remember sacrificing those things. But, you choose, if you're a warrior, you choose what you need to choose. And I'm not saying that you can't go on like this. You can. Because you're not going to get fired. Because they need your revenues.
But are we happy being mediocre, which that is what we are right now. Actually, we're less than mediocre.
You lose
mediocre. Staff. Mediocre would be growing at a average rate. We're not even doing that.
So I think you kind of have to go back to who brought us to the party? Who are the two people that brought us here? And how did they build the business? And go back to say, okay, are they capable? Are those two people that at their best could do this and do it well? Are they still alive within us?
Mm-hmm.
You're actually much better than you were then.
Mm-hmm.
But you were in traffic then. Now you're not in traffic.
Yeah.
So you've got the skills, but you're not, I always say, people say I'm busy, busy, busy. I said, well, if I had $1 million client prospect, or $10 million prospect today, and put them down on the seat next to you, could you close them? I go, oh yeah, I could close them. Would you have room in your book for them? Yes, I'd have plenty of room. Then you're not too busy, okay? You just said you're not too busy if I put somebody in the seat.
No, at the end of the day, Rob, it's just excuses.
It's
excuses.
It's getting somebody into the seat so that you can close them. And you don't have the process to get them into the seat.
Mm-hmm.
And you haven't ritualized it like you have the rest of your life. The rest of your life you keep together. This part you don't. Because you don't prioritize until it's an emergency.
Yeah.
Okay. So the question is, how do we either make it a priority or hire people to fill in these gaps of time, people to take care of the family, people to take care of my business, people to take care something. So I'm free to do it, or I hire somebody to grow because they're a hunter and just killing it. And I want to merge, it's just like any big company, right? Think about today's market. There are people out, Palo Alto did 45 mergers. In the last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
They're hunting for small companies that are growing so that they can enhance their growth. So if there's nobody retiring your office, who's winning? Who's killing it? that would be a good partner. Maybe they're young and coming up and nobody's giving them enough attention. We could give them a sales assistant support and all this. They could go and kill it for us. I was a manager, right? For a lot of years. And I saw you guys have the greatest attitude in the world. You're good people. You do a good job. You're the ones that should win, not the jerks. But they're out hunting and they're winning and taking your clients. And the clients don't know the difference.
Yeah. Yes.
So anyway, that's why you hire a coach and you're smart to do it. But I need some progress, guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
I need some help here.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's amazing. The environment is the greatest I've ever seen for prospecting. People have unimaginable money now. It's just flowing everywhere.
Right.
But you're fishermen that have been stuck on land.
Mm-hmm.
So the fishing is great.
Right.
So that's what upsets me for you guys.
Yeah.
You just have to make, people always ask me, well, what are other people doing?
It's almost like knowing what you have to eat and what you need to do to exercise and get healthy and get stronger and knowing all these things and you have all the knowledge, but if you don't get to the gym and you don't eat the right foods, it's going to get you nowhere. I mean, it's the same analogy.
Right. You're not building the rituals.
We know what to do.
You're depending on your discipline.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not converting. It's like not converting calories, right, to energy. You're not converting your discipline to rituals. You only have this. You have this amount of discipline. Okay.
Yeah.
You can only use it. It only lasts so long, and you can only use it for so many things.
Yeah.
Okay. So what you did was with your practice, you turned this discipline into this ritual. And now you don't need the discipline for it. You see?
That's very true.
It's a ritual now. I'm holding up my fist.
No, it's very true.
Okay. So the idea is that if you could create a series of rituals around your acquisition strategy, that would be as disciplined, as ritualized as your 12-4-2 with clients, then you could park it over here and you wouldn't have to use it anymore. No more discipline needed.
Right.
And so what you need to do is bring your sales assistant into it, which is the key to the whole thing, so that you have the appointment set up that require you to be there.
Mm-hmm.
To do the activity.
Mm-hmm.
So the problem is it doesn't give you immediate gratification. If it gave you immediate gratification, you'd do it all the time. The problem is it's deferred gratification. It takes a lot of patience to do it. It's why people don't lose weight. They do it for a while and they don't see the results, so they quit. And the problem is it just takes persistent doing it over time. It's so much the same. So you gotta meet with those centers of influence if they're givers and they're good, or you fire them and get a new one. You see, it isn't a question of does center of influences work? It's a question of what is the steps and work it takes to get a good one that will produce great results.
Mm-hmm.
It works 100% of the time. You just have to put in the work up front to get it to the point where it works. which means it's just like getting a good sales assistant. You don't get the first one, is, you know, and you change them and you finally get a good one. And it's like a miracle.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Absolutely.
You didn't quit hiring.
No.
So you got to hire a good center of influence. You haven't hired them. They're not a part of your team. And so you got to say to yourself, okay, I need to hire five centers of influence that are going to produce revenues for me. I got to meet with them, put in the time, find new ones, interview. You got to put in the work.
Yeah, the number at the end of the day.
You got to put in the work. You got to put in the work. And once you have one though, and you satisfy them and they satisfy you. I just talked to a guy this morning. Okay. I said, oh, this Academy Sports, great story. Just went public. I bought some on the offering. It was a really great story. I looked at the earnings. They're unbelievable. And it's brand new on the market, right? And it's selling at like seven times earnings. Trading at $35. I bought some on the offering at what, 10 bucks? It's 35. And so I bought more. And then I talked to him today and I bought more. So it's 45 now. And he said, you know, when you bought that on the offering, remember I told you that I have a couple executives with Academy Sports and they really like it. And I said, so have they kept it? They said, yeah, they haven't sold a cent of it. I said, so how did you get introduced to these guys? Well, I've got a friend who runs a family office group. And he knows these guys through that. And he's sent me some business. Okay. I said, wow, you've got yourself a great center of influence there. He said, yeah, he's been very good to me. Okay. So why, how do you, I don't know how he got that, right? He plays a lot of golf. He was a golfer at Ball State. And he's a great young man. I mean, this is I'd say 26 year old. And he's just crushing it. Okay. But he's in traffic, right? He's out meeting people. He's getting the introductions. Making friends in the community.
Yeah. Yes.
Right? It's gotta be 50% of your business. Or you hire somebody to make the 1242 calls for you and then you have time to do it. Or you hire somebody like this kid and say, be a part of our team and we'll give you a disproportionate percentage and let you grow our team. And he goes, great. I just got a bump.
Yeah.
You guys have got to have this is what we refer to as a come to Jesus meeting.
Come to Jesus meeting.
Okay. You got to have that with yourselves and just look each other in the eye. And, you know, the Blue Angels look each other in the eye every morning before they fly and go, are you ready to fly? And if they hesitate, they don't fly.
Yeah.
And you guys have got to look each other in the eye and say, are you ready to fly? Or are we kidding ourselves here?
Yeah.
And are we going to be satisfied with just mediocrity until the kids get big or something? I don't know. Something.
No, it's not even the kids. It's a matter of excuse. It's all excuses. I mean, it really is.
Well, I don't know where the time goes. You guys aren't time wasters. I know you're not. It's just time prioritization. I mean, I know you're not eating bonbons watching TV, okay?
No, I don't watch TV.
Right. You don't have time. Okay.
No.
So anyway, I don't know. Can you guys meet and talk and tell me what the real story is when we meet the next time?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, no more BS. Tell me what the real story is. I mean, if look, if we've got a problem in terms of call reluctance, we're afraid. We don't like to call. Neither of us like to call. Okay.
I just feel that there's areas of our life that we are like, we get stuck. We get stuck. We know what we need to do. And it's not just that. It's even like, let's say, if we're going to do a project with something, even on the personal side, like, and it's going to be great and it's going to advance us forward in certain areas. It translates into the business. It translates. And it's almost like we get stuck. Or if we take, I don't even know what it is. We're going to have to talk and pray about it. Or if we take action, let's say we are moving forward, we take action, something happens and we completely get deviated. And it's almost like we get put back to square one, which maybe that might not even be the case. Maybe in our minds, that's the case. I don't know. I don't know why we get stuck. And it's a constant theme, not just in business, but it can happen in other areas of our life.
Okay. Well, help me help you. Okay. Cause I need some help here and I don't want to waste your time or mine. Just talking about one thing after another, you know, let's come up with a plan and then let's stick with it.
Okay.
Okay. I've given you two options. So, you know, either you guys do it or you hire somebody to do it.
Okay.
The merger thing, I think, is off the table with an old guy. Even that's a business. That's a good business and you've proven you're good at it. But if it's not available, unless you recruit from the competition, which is a reasonable idea, you could do that. Find an old guy at some other firm and bring him in and merge with him.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, think about it. That's three options, three real options, but there's not doing what you're doing now is not working. Okay. You're going to get picked off no matter how hard you put your arms around your clients. If you're not growing, you're shrinking.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, guys. Hey.
Thank you, Rob.
You're welcome. Thanks.
Bye.
Thank you, Rob. Take care. Bye.